Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about Christians and voting for the next half hour of the program. I don't even know what to think. I mean, watch the presidential debate last night, and you look at the two candidates, and I walked away saying, okay, if I'm the neutral voter, that big mass, or at least we're told it's a big mass of undecideds out there, I didn't learn anything that I didn't know already. I hear a lot of repetition of things I've heard many times before. The voters left in a quandary sometimes, and then comes the day on which he's asked to go and cast his ballot. Do Christians vote for a different reason? Although they may vote for the same issues or exactly the same way than unbelievers, do they vote for a different reason than unbelievers do? Do Christians vote to transform the culture, to bring the kingdom of God? We're going to answer those questions. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life based in St. Louis, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness titled Priests in the Voting Booth. Uwe, welcome back.
Thanks to have me.
Well, first you got to clear up something for me, because we've had email from people. Every time I pronounce the name of a man I know that you deeply admire, as I do as well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we hear from listeners saying, why does Wilkin pronounce that last name different than everyone else I've ever heard? I guess most people are saying Bonhoeffer or something along those lines. You get to decide how it ought to be pronounced.
Well, Bonhoeffer has, see, this is how you didn't pronounce him, Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer has the same problem that I have. My first name is Uwe. It has three letters in it, and there are 300 million Americans, and it's an amazing thing that there are 300 million different ways of pronouncing three letters strung together. So Bonhoeffer suffers the same problem. His name is more complicated than mine. So call him Bonhoeffer. And if you can't pronounce Bonhoeffer, call him Bonhoeffer.
All right. So I guess I was on safe ground there. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah.
But not with Uwe's name, because I'll continue to mispronounce
that one. Well, that's pretty close.
Okay, I'll try my best. You come from a European perspective, and you've spent a lot of time overseas, both living and working. Your honest opinion, especially as we approach our presidential cycle here, your honest opinion of our system of government, and especially of the kind of central place the electorate seems to play?
Well, my honest opinion, look, to begin with, I'm from Germany, where we also have, of course, a democracy. What I find particularly upsetting about watching the current system of government here is that it is all me-related. It is all pork-related. And because of these absurdly short legislative periods of Congress, 2 years, it is endemic that you cannot actually think of the you, but have to think of yourself, because no sooner have these guys been voted in than they have to think of their re-election, and then that automatically means they have to think pork. That is troubling. The other thing that is troubling is, and that applies to all democracies in the West, but specifically here, that it is so media-driven and so ideology-driven that sometimes I find it hard to differentiate between the United States of America and the Soviet Union, because you actually have virtually the media in lockstep, and it's terribly confusing to the electorate, unless they really take their finger out and inform themselves. It's probably something we're going to discuss a little later. And finally, you mentioned my article where I'm talking about the priests and voting booth, and I'm quite sure I'll be allowed to explain that. But any governmental system, and especially democracy, can only function lastingly if it is a triangular situation. I call it the TMU formula, thou, me, and you. Thou, God, gives the authority to me, the voter who represents the state here and who actually elects the government leader. And then the me has to focus on the you, that's the other guy, the neighbor, in casting his vote for the neighbor's benefit and not for his own benefit. And then, of course, in so doing, he then returns service to God. By serving the neighbor, he serves God. And that is a triangular formula.
You have written America's sovereigns, I assume you were referring to the electorate, cannot
right.
afford to act mindlessly. I'm watching this presidential debate last night, and I'm thinking to myself, both of these men, honorable men apparently, are forced by the medium in which they're presenting their ideas to us to squash every single complicated problem and idea down into a sentence or two that barely makes sense when it's made its way through the filter. So how can the American sovereigns, as you say, relieve themselves of mindlessness and inform themselves, as you just said?
Yeah, well, it's amazingly difficult and very troubling indeed, because I come from Germany, and in my country's history, we've had an occasion where the country's sovereigns in 1933 voted in Hitler, even though they should have known better. But, of course, they again were blinded by propaganda and by the media. If a democracy should have God's blessing, then the sovereigns are the ones who, by the grace of God, are sovereigns, as kings in the past were by the grace of God kings. So by the grace of God, they are sovereigns, and so therefore they are under obligation to simply inform themselves. It is not true that you cannot inform yourself. It's very difficult. I mean, you can watch CNN and you can watch Fox, and you get essentially ideology of one form or the other. You read the New York Times and you get they're in lockstep on the liberal side. You can balance it off somewhat with the Wall Street Journal, which at least is more amusingly written than the New York Times, but which is, of course, has a conservative outlook. But this in itself is not sufficient. I mean, there are these issues that are that we now have to deal with really are issues that pertain to the very survival or self-destruction of our free society and our democratic system, and people cannot afford not to inform themselves. Now, there are magazines out there, there are journals out there, there are lectures out there, there are English language, you don't have to be multilingual, there are very good English language publications on the internet, British publications, take the Sunday Times or the Times of England or the Daily Telegraph, or if you wish to read something of left-wing persuasion, The Guardian. But at least you can, and then you can go on to the continental publications. All this is doable, but it takes time and it takes energy, and you have to start thinking. You cannot just make a knee-jerk decision, because ultimately you will be blamed as voters for having gone wrong, just as correctly, I think, the voters of 1933 have been blamed for having voted in Hitler without, not that they wanted to destroy all the Jews and all that sort of thing, that wasn't the issue at the time, but the information about what Hitler intended to do was on the table, and this is what you have to consider now in the United States.
Both on the religious left and the religious right, there seems to be an impulse to vote in order to transform culture, or some might even go so far as to say usher in the kingdom of God. What's wrong with this attitude among Christians with regard to their votes?
Well, what's wrong is that Christ himself has said this kingdom is this is not my kingdom. So the kingdom of the left, as we call it, is the kingdom of the hidden gods, is where reason dominates. Christ's kingdom is a different matter. The gospel can illumine your reason if you are a believer, but it cannot make you decide on whether to get out of Iraq or how to get out of Iraq or whether reinforce your forces in Afghanistan or how to resolve the social security crisis or any of these things, or whether to drive on the left-hand side or the right-hand side of the road or stop driving altogether. All these are decisions that can only be made by practical reason and not by the gospel. And those people who claim that the gospel transforms society, that Christ transforms our society, are actually charlatans, because they don't realize that this society in which we're living, this world in which we're living, is a dying world, which still has to be managed, but it is not managed by Christ dying on the cross. Christ did not die on the cross for us to be nice and politically correct. Christ died on the cross to save our lives for eternity, to redeem our sins. It's a totally different issue here.
We're talking with Dr.
We have to manage our world, and that is the main point.
We're talking with Dr. Uwe C. Minetto about Christians and voting. I want to hear from you. This break is a good time to give us a call on this Wednesday, October the 8th, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Uwe C. Minetto is an international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, based in St. Louis, and author of an article in the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Priests in Voting Booths. When we come back, more with Uwe on Christians and voting. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Terry Grabaugh, Matt Rosenblum, Justin Schultz, Tammy Jensen, Ryan Oakes, Mandy Casper, Pastor Ted Mays, Pastor Daniel Preuss, and Pastor Ron Peterson. Thanks for your support.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Uwe C. Minetto about Christians and voting. By the way, you can support Issues Etc. Your congregation needs to think about this. I know that your congregation is putting together right about now, it's budget for 2009. And this is important stuff for your congregation. You're deciding your priorities. What we at Issues Etc. would like you to consider is making Issues Etc. a priority at your congregation as well. How would that happen? Well, we have the Issues Etc. 300 congregations that have decided to make the support of the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. a priority in their budget, either their mission or advertising budget. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under sponsors, issuesetc.org, under the sponsors page. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about Christians and voting. Uwe, I'm wondering, when you use the word priests in voting booths, if you would explain that, how should we properly understand each of us as citizens acting right in a priestly fashion when we vote? That seems unusual.
Yeah, right. Now, in the Lutheran way of thinking and in the Pauline way of thinking, there are two kinds of priestly functions. One is the priest at the altar and in the pulpit. The other function is the priestly function. They use, in fact, similar words. They are liturgos, they're liturgists in the world. And that is, we serve God. Priests serve God, and as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a journalist, or as a president, or as a voter, you serve God. But you serve God in a different way. You serve God by serving the little Christ next to you, your neighbor. That is, by the way, a wonderful term by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the little Christ. If you focus all your endeavors in the left-hand kingdom, in the secular realm, on the other, if you do that out of love for the other and not out of sheer self-love, then you are rendering the highest possible service to God. And that's what Luther said. And then, of course, that makes you a member of the universal priesthood of all believers.
Are there biblical issues that are also political issues?
Oh, yes. take the abortion issue. It is obviously here. You don't, as a pastor, you don't have to get into the pulpit and say, don't vote for Charles Pickstein here, who supports abortion rights, but you have to very clearly say that that abortion is wrong. And I salute the Roman Catholic archbishops, there are 55, I believe, so far, who have excommunicated or de facto excommunicated pro-abortionist politicians and leaders. And particularly salute Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas, that excommunicated this mass murderer called George Tiller, who prides himself, who boasts with having murdered 60,000 babies in life-term abortion. 60,000! Please, that reminds you of Adolf Eichmann in Germany in World War II. 60,000 is killing 100 more, and this wonderful congregation had the guts and the faith to excommunicate him. So the guy walked across the road to an ELCA congregation who communed. Well, I think they do that to their own peril and his own peril, because it is dangerous to for an unrepentant sinner to receive the Lord's true blood and body and blood. So this is one issue. The other issue is, and that's biblical, but whether you it is a theological issue. You can't say as a pastor, don't vote for this guy, but you can also not hide the fact that you excommunicate that guy. So if the fallout is that people say, hey, we don't really shouldn't vote for a guy, our congregation is excommunicated, so be it. I'm not the guy who said it. The same thing is, of course, applies to the other biblical issue, and that is orders of creation. That marriage is between one man and one woman, and not something that you cook up with all sorts of other things, dachshunds and what have you, you know. So here again, we have to make a clear statement as church that this is wrong, We have to make, if necessary, discipline members who publicly are in favor of this thing. On the other hand, you can't say don't vote for a guy who is in favor of same-sex marriage. It's good enough to just discipline him in an ecclesial way.
Does this mean that the average voter who is a Christian, then when he's, say, doing the water cooler conversation with his fellow workers and wants to persuade his fellow voters toward what he considers to be a better position on these kinds of issues, that he pulls out his Bible and starts quoting Bible passages to his fellow citizens?
If the other fellow citizen is not bothered by it, if he wants to hear it, I mean, you don't take the Bible and clobber it over the guy's head. But on the other hand, it is the Christian's duty to stand by his faith, and so I don't see anything wrong with a Christian telling another voter, look, here's one reason why I can't vote for so-and-so, because I do not believe in abortion rights. I do not believe in killing babies, and this guy is in favor of that. That's one thing along the water cooler. It's a totally different thing from the pulpit.
Okay, let's talk about how all of this fits within the context. And I think you've made mention of it already here in our conversation, how all of this fits into the context of Christians seeing their place in life according to a godly vocation. How does the Christian voting fit into his vocation?
The Christian voting fits into his vocation in that he, the Christian, or she, the Christian voter, decides on the basis of what his or her considered opinion is for the best of the neighbor. In other words, is it good for society? Is it good for my for people next to me, including non-Christians, that I vote for this candidate or that candidate? This is a Christian vocation. It is, you err, you make mistakes. Your Bonhoeffer, whom you just mentioned, said, of course, God will turn even the worst evil into good. Biggest mistakes he will ultimately correct. And Bonhoeffer wrote this just before he was hanged by the Nazis. But you still have to make a decision, and it is a godly calling. You make mistakes in bringing up children. You make mistakes in driving a car. You have accidents. You still have to drive if that's what your calling is. So it is very much, and right now I think I couldn't actually think of a more profound calling at this very moment in the secular realm than what is going to happen next month.
Before we let you go, the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life is hosting German Days. Tell us a little bit about this annual event with about 30 seconds, Uwe.
Yes, and it's going to be about the same issue. We are going to discuss, bring in very senior statesmen from Germany and very senior scholars from the United States and from Canada, and we will discuss faith and politics and Germany over here. The interface between faith and politics, how it works out in Germany. We are comparing notes with the situation over here. We are also discussing a very troubling phenomenon, and that is New Age religions and neo-paganism that have caused the Nazi heresies and that are also very much infiltrating the public square in the United States and in other parts of America. And this, of course, we will also have a wine festival there with wines from Missouri, and we're going to have a fantastic concert by the American Cantorei under Robert Burgs with Bach cantatas pertaining again to the issue of church and state and faith and politics. So that's going to be on October 24th and 25th here at Concordia Seminary. It's free. You don't have to pay anything, but you are requested to register beforehand.
Folks,
center at CSL.edu. Center at CSL.edu.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, based in St. Louis, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Priests in Voting Booths. Uwe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
And you can find out more about German Days, October the 24th and 25th, on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Click on the link for the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us on the other side of this break to kick off hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday, October the 8th. And then, after we talk with her about a new poll on abortion rates and parental consent laws and a new prenatal blood test for Down syndrome, Ken Samples will join us to talk about unidentified flying objects and perhaps those who are flying them around, UFOs and extraterrestrials, with Ken Samples in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
On the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.